All right, good afternoon. This is a public rulemaking hearing held in accordance with the State Administrative Procedure Act, specifically Section 24-4-103 of Colorado Revised Statutes. The date is Friday, November 17, 2017, and the time is 1 p.m. We are meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Conference Room on the third floor of the Office of the Secretary of State at 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. I'm Deputy Secretary of State Suzanne Steyert. I'm convening this hearing in accordance with the rulemaking notice published in the Colorado Register on October 25, 2017. Seated to my immediate left is Melissa Polk, our legal unit manager in the Elections Division, and Andrea Geiger to my far left, our department rulemaking manager in the Administration Division. The purpose of this hearing is to receive comments from the public on proposed amendments to the Secretary of State's election rules. As stated in the notice, the purpose of the rulemaking is to consider rule revisions necessary to ensure proper administration of legislation recently passed by the Colorado General Assembly, establish uniformity in the administration of current law, organize existing rules for clarity, eliminate obsolete provisions, simplify the language of existing rules, remove language that is duplicative of statute, and ensure consistency with department rulemaking standards. The Secretary of State released a preliminary draft of the proposed rules with the notice of rulemaking on November 8, 2017. Revised proposed draft rules were made available to the public. Both drafts are available on the office website. Copies of the notice of rulemaking, revised draft statement of basis, and the revised draft rules are available at the table at the back of the room. This is a formal rulemaking hearing. The meeting is audio recorded and all comments become a part of the official legal record. This hearing is also being broadcast over the internet. For anyone who wishes to testify at this hearing, there are sign-up sheets on the table at the back of the room. You must sign up in order to testify. For the record, our office has received written comments on the proposed rules. All comments received will become a part of the official record of this hearing and will be posted online. At this time, all interested parties have an opportunity to submit data views or arguments on amendments to the election rules in writing and, if desired, orally. And I have two people signed up. So the first person is Harvey Branscombe. You could just introduce yourself and tell us if you're representing anyone.
All right, Harvey Branscombe. I came down from Eagle County, and I'm representing myself. I want to thank the Secretary of State's office for hosting the risk-limiting audit, the inaugural risk-limiting audit. As it turned out, by lot, I was able to throw the first die to create the random number that feeds the random number generator that selects the ballots for the audit. It's very exciting, and it's very exciting that Colorado is pioneering this excellent improvement in election verification. I'm also interested in supporting the idea of doing signature verification for petitions. And I think that the result of that is going to focus more attention on the quality of the signature verification, and particularly the machine signature verification that this rule permits. And I'm hoping that'll end up resulting in a more careful design for an audit that actually ensures we have very high quality and consistent signature verification across the state. Since it'll be happening here at the Secretary of State's office, I think that'll help focus that attention of regulators and legislators, and looking forward to that. Also, we know that ballot petitions have had problems in the past, so that makes it probable that we'll be seeing more. I'm sure the Secretary of State will be very careful about using the automated equipment to verify signatures. So I'm looking forward to that. The main reason I came to testify today, however, is to try to understand Rule 25.2.4, which relates to the audit. And that rule in its current form actually talks about a deadline for that actually comes out of CORA, or actually it doesn't precisely come out of CORA, but it appears to be related to CORA, and a law that I was very aware of when it was written in 2012. And that law calls for a blackout period for the public access to voted ballots, which actually includes in the definitions class vote records and ballot images and paper ballots. So at the time, it was problematic to consider that the public would come in to look at the paper ballots, which is all that was available to counties at the time. But now there are the cast vote records and the ballot images are relatively easy to provide to the public, and this rule is obviously contemplating that occurring. The rule refers to a deadline which is actually not listed in CORA, but it's an interpretation of the two blackout periods. One is during the actual certification process until the deadline for certification, and then there's another blackout period that's during a recount. This one kind of presumes that, I guess it presumes that the blackout occurs all the way to the end of a recount or the last time to request a recount. I think that's a problematic interpretation because it actually prevents the public from getting access to the cast vote records and other records of the election earlier that would be feasible with the new voting system. So I'm hoping for a readdressing of that, but in the context of what this rule actually says, it's mysterious because this rule says that before sending the cast vote records to the Secretary of State, there will be a redaction. And I'd like to talk about that redaction a little bit. I'm hopeful that means that the state or the counties, I guess actually the counties, will be providing the service of protecting the anonymity of the ballot, the privacy of the vote, and will not require the public, like myself, to pay for the redaction. The redaction itself required by the law isn't necessarily a withholding or a covering. It could actually be a provision of a portion of the record. And what I wanted to point out for possible improvement of this rule is that instead of just taking away individual cast vote records and making them not accessible to the public, or at least not through this route, if were I to request records from the Secretary of State instead of from the counties, that the protection of the privacy of the voter in many cases could be provided by splitting the cast vote record so that columns from the cast vote record are put into a separate file, and the indication on each cast vote record of the style, the original style on the ballot, could be removed, thus providing voter privacy for the cast vote records and still providing all the data to the public. So I realize it's a very fine point and it's a detail, but the nature of the CORA law actually is written, it's written to accommodate that, to allow the requester to request a portion of the ballot, a portion of the image, a portion of the cast vote record. That is not, does not result in nine or fewer instances of, only nine or fewer instances of the same format, the same style, effective style of the ballot that's being requested. This rule appears to be the Secretary of State basically making a CORA request under CORA law to the counties, and then they are providing the data to the Secretary of State. In reality, in this audit we're in the middle of undergoing right now, the counties uploaded the cast vote records to the Secretary of State last night. So I'm curious whether this is intended to mean that the counties will perform this redaction, or I hope reformatting of the data to protect privacy before the dice roll that took place this morning. And I'm hoping that somebody here is capable of answering that question or explain why this combination of things is in this rule, because I would have written it differently. I'm not opposed to the idea of the rule. I'm curious about the way it's written.
Do you know? I don't know.
Yeah, this is Melissa. I think that you've made some very similar comments to this regarding the rule and its current form, except for the before sending it to the Secretary of State, which we did thoroughly look through and consider. I think that this contemplates, because we're required to put those CVRs, you know, kind of post-election up on the website, that the redaction occur before we do that after the audit, so that when we put that up there, there's no, you know, we preserve the anonymity in the CVR file. And that's my understanding of the intent of the rule.
So that suggests that the state has an intention to actually make public the cast vote records once they are redacted per this rule. Is that correct? It doesn't say that in the rule, of course.
It doesn't. You know, I'll have to ask for some clarification on that, but that, you know, it becomes a public record whether we put it up on the website or not. And so having those redacted by the county prior to sending those to us then makes it easier for us, and you know, we're able then to comply with any CORA requests that we receive.
Right, I see. Well, I'm very enthusiastic about the idea that the cast vote records would become available as public records without additional cost to the public, and I also am aware that there's a signature that's being published as of today, that's I actually forgot the name of the technical name for it, but a proof that these passport records existed as of today in a specific content was provided to the public so the public could check later on if what is delivered to the public matches that signature. And if the passport records are not actually changed, then that will work. If they are changed, then that will not provide the confidence necessary. And so I do hope that this rule would actually result in the redaction or the reformatting taking place before those signatures are made and before they are uploaded to the public, or preferably the entire database of cast vote records uploaded to the public in time for the audit. That was the original intention of to provide transparency for the audit that builds confidence on the basis of the audit. Well, that's my comment.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan Bolkosh.
Hi, I'm Dan Bolkosh with the Denver Elections Division, and I'm going to be pretty brief. I only have one rule that I would like to comment on today, and that's proposed rule 2.16.3. Generally, we just think that this rule is pretty broad, and we say that because it refers to the county instead of something like the county clerk and recorder. There are some counties, like in Arapahoe County, that already have processes in place. For example, like their court system, if something is to occur, they already have a state agency that they are supposed to be notifying. Additionally, the term notice or any other notice seems to be pretty broad, as well as just all critical infrastructure. There are 16 sectors of critical infrastructure from the federal government. We think it might make sense to just narrow that to our election system. And so we just kind of have concerns about its breadth and its enforceability, especially with something like for Denver County, the International Airport or something like that. It's just kind of outside of the control of the county clerk and recorder. So we wouldn't mind seeing something like that narrowed, either say the county clerk and recorder instead of the county, or not having all 16 designations of critical infrastructure in there. And that's all we have.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. That concludes everyone signed up for public testimony. Is there anybody here didn't sign up? No. All right. Then at this time, our office will take under advisement possible amendments to the Secretary of State's election rules, and the record will remain open through the close of business Monday, November 27th, to allow the submission of additional written comments. This concludes today's hearing. The time is 1:15. Thank you.